everything we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
This is the radio voice of the Church of the Nazarene, shared transcribed by thousands from coast to coast and by shortwave around the world.
In the riven rock I'm resting, safely sheltered I abide. Where no foes nor storms molest me, while within the cleft I hide. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee.
A note of assurance and confidence is expressed in the quartet's presentation of I Belong to the King.
I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love. I shall dwell in His palace so fair. For He tells of its bliss in yon heaven above, and His children in splendor shall share. I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love, and He never forsaketh His home. He will call me someday to His palace above. I shall dwell by His glorified.
He struggled with a load too hard to bear. His face is touched with lines of anxious care. Perhaps he falters when he should be strong, but have compassion on him if he's wrong. She never had a mother's hand to guide. She wandered o'er the weary world so wide. Her face may tell a story of despair. Oh, have compassion on her. Breathe a prayer. If we could read the motives of the heart, less often we would make the teardrops start, and we would find a world of wondrous good if we but knew each other as we should.
My Lord has garments so wondrous fine and myrrh their heart of mine, with joy my
Today's message by Dr. DeLong is of grave concern to everyone. It is entitled, Delinquent Parents. Here is Dr. DeLong.
There is no such thing as an illegitimate child. There are only illegitimate parents. And it is also a fact that behind 95% of delinquent children are delinquent parents. Today I want to address my remarks to parents. The children can listen in. The number one charge, the supreme responsibility, the topmost duty of every parent is the child or children that God has permitted to enter your home. In the natural realm, God has so arranged things that a human male and a female can procreate a new physical body. This fact is tremendous and awe-inspiring. But more wonderful and fearful is the truth that God permits a spiritual male and a female to procreate a new immortal soul. By your choice and responsibility, you bring a new soul, having a new body, into the world. That new creature must live this life morally and spiritually so that he will be fit for God's approval hereafter. If not, he will merit God's punishment for a misspent life here. The first 20 years are the important ones. All personal habits are formed in this period. Ideals are envisioned, goals are approved. What a person is after he is 20 depends on what he is before he is 20. Now here is the point I want to bear down on to all parents listening. Your task is to so live, to set such an example, to create such a home atmosphere, to provide suitable ideals and worthy goals before he is 20, so that after he reaches that age and is on his own, he will follow the pattern set. Here is what God has commanded and promised. Train up a child in the way he should go, not the way he wants to go. And here is the promise. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The home is the nursery of virtues. It is the cradle of righteousness, the foundation for honesty, the impetus toward goodness. It is the home that sets the pattern for life, gives the chart for the future, and points the needle of the compass. If these are lacking, the voyage of life is purposeless and portless. Any nation is only as strong as its homes, and the homes are only as righteous as the parents. Hamilton said, quote, six things are requisite to create a happy home. Integrity must be the architect, and tidiness the upholsterer. It must be warmed by affection, lighted up with cheerfulness, and industry must be the ventilator, renewing the atmosphere and bringing in fresh salubrity day by day, while over all is a protecting canopy and glory. Nothing will suffice except the blessing of God, unquote. Look at these facts. 80% of criminals come from broken or uncongenial homes. In 1 year, there were 640,000 divorces in the United States alone, which indicates that 1,280,000 husbands and wives separated, meaning that hundreds of thousands of children were deprived of parental love and home blessings. Last year, J. Edgar Hoover, FBI director, reported 2,036,510 crimes, an increase of 154,350 over the preceding year. A major crime was committed every 15.5 seconds, but here is the startling revelation. More crimes were committed by young people who are only 18 years old than any other age. One wonders what kind of parents and what kind of homes these 18-year-old criminals came from. Recently, the Associated Press carried this caption, Moral Decay in the United States. Here is the first paragraph. America is on the brink of disintegration, a top-ranking psychiatrist said today. Reason? The increase in divorce and juvenile and adult delinquency. Dr. Edward A. Strecker, chairman of the Psychiatry Division of the National Research Council, warned that, as parents, most Americans are failures, unquote. The chief of police of North Little Rock, Arkansas, Jack Pyle, has offered a pithy one-sentence appraisal of the origins of juvenile delinquency. Quote, the cause of every crime committed in this city by a juvenile can be found by turning around and marching right up to the door of the child's parents, unquote. Look magazine carried a feature recently entitled, Does Your Child Cheat in School? The article revealed that by the fifth grade, one-third of the pupils are habitual cheaters. In junior high, 40%. In senior high, 50 to 55%. And in some colleges, the figures may run anywhere from two-thirds to 85%. The writer asks, how can the kids be honest when the adults are cheating and lying and chiseling and stealing openly all about them? How about income tax evasion, souvenir towels and silverware from hotels, graft, payoffs, handouts, swindles, lying about a child's age to get high fare, and 1,001 other instances of dishonesty? How can we raise righteous children in godless homes or as unwanted refugees from broken homes? How can we instill moral ideals when mothers are more concerned about the movies, cocktail lounges, or bridge parties? How we can train the future leaders of our nation when the mothers are irresponsible career or club women, are concerned superficially with social or civic movements, having no time for the development of social and spiritual ideals in the lives of their own children? Parents, the responsibility is yours. Do not shirk it. If you do, you will not only lose your own soul, but worse, damn the souls of those you are responsible for bringing into existence. Put God in your home. Don't say to your children, be good, do right, go to church. Rather, you be good and you do right, and they will follow in your footsteps. And finally, don't command, go to church. Rather say, come, let us go to church. The family that worships together stays together. Let us pray. Oh God, today we pray for careless, pleasure-seeking, home-deserting parents. Impress upon their hearts and consciences by thy Holy Spirit the supreme importance of training and saving their own children. May they accept their charge and perform their duties by teaching righteous precepts and by being godly examples. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Distribution should be made of this timely message, entitled Delinquent Parents. Complimentary copies are available by sending a request to Showers of Blessing in care of this station. Another inspiring program will be presented again next week at this hour. Invite a friend to tune in with you. Same time, same station, when the Church of the Nazarene, with international headquarters in Kansas City, Missouri, again presents transcribed Showers of Blessing.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of God. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from us are falling. But for the showers we plead.